We're glad that we can join together in this unique way, as we've said many times now. But still, we're thankful that we can share from God's Word, and our desires, the Spirit of God, will make it applicable and profitable for you and your family. So let's just ask God to help us accomplish that. Father, we are so thankful that you are the one that we can call Father. You're the one that we can lean upon in our weakness. You're the one that we gain our strength from to go from day to day. And we just ask that you will bless our time, direct our time. May the Spirit of God use this time to accomplish your will in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. A song that was popular years back, definitely not a Christian song, but it had a line in it: I can't find no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. Now, I think that caption, even though coming from a rock group, is somewhat characteristic of the culture in which we live. People are running around everywhere trying to find some sense of satisfaction, trying to find something that will meet their inner needs. But yet they keep coming up short. Now, I don't know what it's like for you, but it's so easy to look in the wrong way, places, to find satisfaction. Where can we find it? You know, sometimes we think, oh, if life would just smooth out and things would get easier, I'd have more money, I'd have good health. If those things would just happen, then I would be satisfied. But you know what? It's very interesting. David, the Old Testament king, found satisfaction when he was in the midst of a mess, when he was in the wilderness. We talked about this the last time we were together, and I want to come back to Psalm 63, and I read a few of the introductory captions of this psalm. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, why was he there? He wasn't on a vacation. He had run there with his associates because his son and the comrades of his son were trying to kill him. David was in a very, very difficult time of life. But then David says this: oh God, you are my God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He didn't just say, oh God, as a lot of times people do when they're exasperated or shocked by something in our day. He said, oh God, my God. You see, David knew where to look. And he says this: I shall seek you earnestly. I will seek you earnestly, diligently, passionately. And he says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you, for God. And then skipping down just a little bit in verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. And this is so wonderful. God's loving kindness, his unfailing love, is better than life because it's going to outlast our physical life. It's a wonderful thing. And then we pick up in verse 5 where we want to start our time this morning. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now that sounds a little strange. Those last two, we tried to avoid those. But my soul is satisfied. We'll just think about that for a moment. My soul, David is looking inwardly in his sense. He is satisfied. He has found satisfaction. Why? Because he's looking to the Lord. Oh God, my God. He finds satisfaction in the Lord and ultimately in the love of the Lord because of your loving kindness. It's better than life. It's the best thing going. And he says, my soul is satisfied. Now, interesting, the word satisfied, as with marrow and fatness, the idea of abundance. It's an image of a lavish banquet. Now, my mother was a great cook, and I've said to my wife, my wife is a great cook as well. But either one of them, if they were making a Christmas dinner or a Thanksgiving dinner, and they were putting out all of the foods, and they wanted to make sure they got the foods out on the table that you especially appreciated, and they were cooked to the perfection, and you just say, "Oh!" You sit down and you eat, and you're so at the end, you're full, but you're so satisfied. Well, you know what? God wants to satisfy our soul, and He can do that. The idea, his marrow and fatness, richly and abundantly, God can satisfy us in the core of our being. And this can be true if we are willing to draw near, as we talked about last time, to seek the Lord. Earnestly, I seek you, as he said. I seek you. Now, the question probably for all of us is, what are we seeking? What are we looking for? We talked about this last week. But we need to be honest with ourselves in this, because it's so easy to get caught up seeking things. You know, the world has all these advertisements, all these temptations, all these options, so-called. And they're all designed, so-called, to bring satisfaction. And we run here and we run there and we try to find this and we try to do that. But yet, at the end of the day, often we are left empty. And God says, no, no, come to me, seek me. Seek an intimate relationship with me. Now, David already knew the Lord is his Savior. And hopefully that's true for you. You've put your trust in the Lord Jesus to save you. But here he's talking about an intimate fellowship with the Lord, intimate relationship with the Lord. And you know what? If we have that satisfaction, we have that intimacy, we can then say with David, "And my mouth offers praises with joyful lips." You know what? When we are truly satisfied within by the Lord, we have joy without. And we can express that joy with praise and adoration of the Lord. And he says this, "When I remember you on my bed," remember, one scholar puts it this way, the verb remember is a word for meditation. It emphasizes pondering what is called to mind. In this case, God is to be remembered or pondered, what he has said, what he has done, who he is. We're to ponder him. We're to remember him. And notice, on my bed, you know, you think about times, you know, you had a dream or something, or maybe your stomach was growling, and you wake up in the middle of the night. Where do you think about? Well, if it was a bad dream, you're thinking about, oh, man. But you know what? David, what do you think woke him up? Well, one of the things I think might have probably woke him up is the danger that his son of coming upon him and killing him and those who were with him. But, you know, David intentionally put his focus back upon the Lord. Yes, there's dangers. Yes, there's problems. Yes, there's all kinds of things that distract us. But David intentionally put his focus on the Lord. And that is what, again, brings satisfaction. Now, ask this honest question. What do you think about? Where does your mind go when you're unoccupied with work or, you know, certain responsibilities? Where does your mind go when you have just a little bit of downtime? Well, one of the places our mind should go, and it's expressed in other places of Scripture, in Joshua 1:8, a passage you probably have heard various times. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have success." Well, setting our mind on God's book, meditating day on it day and night. The first psalm says this, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." And dropping to verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." You see, when he has opportunity, going through the day, maybe he has a little time. He doesn't have to focus quite so much on the work, but he can think about, and his mind goes back to the Lord day and night. You wake up in the middle of the night or in the evening when you're not doing the work that you have to do during the day. But his mind would continually go back to the Lord through by way of his word. We see this in Psalm 119, which talks so much about God's book, God's word. Verse 147 and 148, they say this: I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word, that I may meditate on your word. The idea of fixing, deliberately giving attention to God's word so we'll learn about God himself. What a wonderful thing. You know, we need to be careful where we allow our minds to wander. Be aware of the fact that if our mind, where it continually goes, our life will eventually follow. Those thoughts, they form our path. We need to be careful what we put in our mind and where we direct our thoughts. And God says, look to me, meditate on my book, and learn about me. God wants us to learn about him, because he is the only one that can meet the deepest needs of our life. He's the only one that can bring satisfaction to our souls. May our focus be set and reset. And you know, we get so distracted. We have to reset, reset, come back. And God's Spirit can help us, empower us to do that. Now notice, we go on to verse 7 of Psalm 63. For you have been my help. He remembers the Lord. Why does he remember the Lord? Why does he keep looking back to the Lord? Because of the way the Lord had helped him in the past. You have been my help. You know, help comes from the Lord. There's another beautiful psalm. Psalm 46, verse 1 says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A present help in trouble. You know, when we find ourselves in those days that are so uncertain and frightening, in fact, at times, where do we go? Our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He has been our help. Think back the times you've called into the Lord and he met the need. You know, one of our weaknesses is we forget how many times God has already answered prayers in our life. He's already met our needs. He's protected us. You know, for us just to be here today, God has protected us from sometimes things we're not even aware of that we missed, because God was our help, our protector. Verse 7 goes on, and in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. I will sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. And obviously this is a picture from nature of a mama bird in her nest, her wings wrapped around her little ones, right? I've said this just recently. I never used to be a bird watcher, but this mother robin built a nest, and it's on this little tree, as I said in the past. Walk out the front door, and it's at eye level. I don't know why she ever put her nest at eye level that low, but anyway, in this little tree. And so we knew that this was her nest, and she had some eggs, and she would be in there setting on her eggs, right? And then we'd watch it kind of from day to day, and you couldn't always see in the nest, but you could just see the top of it. And then one day I saw this little fluttering, right? Well, little baby bird had grown. Well, Mama had been protecting him all that time, right? Keeping him safe. And in fact, just several days ago, I saw Mama Bird and Baby Bird. Now, Baby Bird's a lot bigger now, and he's able to fly on his own. But they were on the ground and looking for worms. Mama found a worm, and she fed it to Baby Bird. He's been protected. You know, he looks like he's in great shape. God wants to protect us. And he's like the we're in his under his wings. He keeps us safe. The Psalm 57, in verse 1, it reads this: my soul, take refuge in God, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. You know, that may be exactly what you're feeling. There's some really dangerous, and we know, dear Christians around the world, destruction is around them. And they're looking for shelter in the Lord. And we need to look for shelter no matter what our situation is. And when we find our satisfaction, our shelter in him, I will sing for joy. It brings joy. One writes, because of all the help that God has been in the past, there is ample reason to trust him even now in the wilderness experience. You can trust him right now. Whatever's going on, however hard it is, whatever the waves look like, you can trust him right now. You know, there's a lot of scary things in life. I don't know if you saw this last week, it was on the Weather Network, where in a country in Europe, there's this landslide, and these houses, just a whole sheet of dirt and earth, and houses were on this thing, and were just pulled out and sucked into the sea. You think, oh, the danger. Now, I didn't see anybody running out of those houses. They apparently knew there was danger and they'd already evacuated. But sometimes life is just like that. Everything is moving, and we're in danger, and God is our help. We can run to him as our helper. And as we've said, we're going to talk about him as our security, but we don't want to forget he's our satisfaction. We can turn to him, and he satisfies our deepest needs. But we need to be seeking him, or we're not going to enjoy his satisfaction. And then we come, and just as we've already touched on, we come to his security. Notice what it says in verse 8 of Psalm 63. My soul clings to you. My right hand upholds me. Your right hand upholds me. Now notice, my soul clings. One has said the verb means to cling, to stick to, as if glued to something. You know, I was thinking of the picture of a little child, and let's say they're about 3 or 4 or something, and they're with one of their parents, and let's say they're with their dad, and they hear something scares them. You know, maybe they're, I remember sometimes you'd be around a little kid and you'd show them maybe a big old horse, you know, and the horse would move and they would back off, right? And they'd want to come close to you, tight to you, or maybe a dog's barking, and they're scared. Well, and if you're a father and you love your child, you pick them up and you hold them. But also, you know what happens? When that little child is frightened, what do? They hug you around the neck and as if they're never going to let go. they don't want to let go. They cling to their father, right? Just as we're to cling to our God, our Heavenly Father. He's our safe keeper. He's the one who protects us. Your right hand but holds me. Doesn't that remind us of a father who has his arm around his child and the strength of that father's arm holding a little child, and they upholds us to protect us. A symbol of God's strength, his strength. Verse 9, we read this. But those who seek my life to destroy it. He upholds me, but those who seek to destroy my life. Just think, you know, If you think you have problems, just think how terrible it would be to have knowing that you have people that are out to kill you. And the head of that group is your son. I mean, the grief, the agony, the pain. And he says, but those who seek to destroy my life, you know, David's in the midst of the wilderness. He's in the midst of extreme danger. You know, these thoughts in this passage are not just for nice, pious, devotional moments. You know, you think, oh, I have a few moments with the Lord, devotion. I have my devotions, right? These thoughts, these concepts in this section are for dangerous times as well as the easier times. And so he says, they want to destroy me. And then he says this, those who seek my life will go into the depths of the earth. As one has said, they do what they are doing to their own destruction. To their own destruction. You know, the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You know, we think of those who have been enemies, those who want to hurt other people. You know, God takes care of his kids. He will protect his kids. And he will repay those who want to destroy his children. And notice the passage goes on. It says, they will fall by the sword. They'll be delivered over to the power of the sword. And then it says this, interesting, they, obviously that's their death, but they will be like a portion for jackals, as one version says. And of course, jackals were the final scavengers of something that had died. And so we look at this. Those who want to hurt God's kids will be punished in God's way. It's not for us to bring the punishment, but he will deal with things as they need to be dealt with, justly, fairly, and in his time. And it says in verse 11, but the king will rejoice in God. David is reflecting on himself as being the king. He will rejoice in God. God had delivered him, and he was confident God would deliver him in this circumstance. David is expressing his confidence, his joyful confidence in his great God. Now, let's remember, David could rejoice and find confidence and security in the Lord now because he had been preparing long before this in seeking the Lord when times were not as hard, times were not as dangerous. He was preparing himself long in advance. We need to do that as well, reminding ourselves that, you know, we've had this pandemic. You know, one of the advantages of it, which I'm not sure we think there are a lot of them, but one of the things it's brought us to kind of a halt in some of the areas of our life, some of the busy things in our life. You know, it's been, and I know some people have intentionally taken time just to draw near to the Lord, spend more time in the Word, and be able to grow in the Lord, seeking the Lord. But may it not just be during a pandemic, may it be ongoing. As we continue in life and continue down our journey, may we continue to seek the Lord, whether it's a dangerous, difficult time or an easy, delightful time. May we seek Him, seeking Him through His Word, drawing near to Him, coming close to Him, soaking in His Word, memorizing. I know some people just pass out when they think about memorizing, but, you know, taking portions of God's Word and just allowing them to be absorbed into our soul, setting our mind on the things above where Christ is. You know, setting our mind there. You know, this is a time to think, how can you adjust your life where you're more purposefully seeking a relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord, seeking to know Him better through His Word? May we not just hear these words, may we apply these words into our lives so that God is real to us and we're satisfied by Him and we find our security in Him. And notice what it says. In the last portion of this psalm, everyone who swears by Him will glory. Well, ultimately, they'll be victorious. They will glory. Now, David would glory in the near future when he was back on his throne, but there's a further glory that's coming. I was thinking about, what about all the disasters where people don't escape with their lives? You know, I was reading and I shared with you, but I had a recent alert. This was just June the 4th from the Voice of Martyrs on the persecuted Christians in Nigeria. And it talks about a genocide going on against Christians in that country. And it said, in just the last few months, the last 5 months that we've had in 2020, at least 620 Christians have been killed because of their faith. And you say, where's the glory in that? Where's the glory in that? You know, if God was taking care of me, but you know what? God takes care of us, where we're at, what we're doing, as long as He knows it's the best for us to be here. But there'll come a day that we will share in His eternal glory. And I just want to read these words. You remember Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's talking about his ministry and how rough it was. Part of it, he said, we are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken. So he had gone through a very, very painful, brutal time in prison, beat up, all kinds of stuff. But he's looking to the Lord. And he says this, in verse 13, we believe, therefore, we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. What do we, you know, you, as I've said before, you cannot understand suffering unless you look at it through the lens of eternity. You have to see it in the eternal perspective. And Paul goes on to write this. He says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Far beyond all comparison. You know, the suffering now will not even compare in the slightest with what we endure today. So those dear Christians who are martyred in Nigeria, you know, they're with the Lord now. And they will share in his glory for all eternity. And they'll be rewarded for their faithfulness. As we read in this wonderful psalm again, everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. God will defeat the enemies. God will do what is right. He will bring about judgment on the unjust and rewards for those who are faithful to him. And you know what it says to us? We can count on him. He is a loving God. He is our satisfaction and security. In him we find those. So therefore we need to seek him. You know, Hudson Taylor, in a portion that the missionary put in print years ago, he said, "The present year, all the way back to 1870, has been in many ways remarkable. Perhaps every one of our number has been more or less face-to-face with danger, perplexed and distressed. But out of it all, the Lord has delivered us. And some of us who have drunk of the cup of the man of sorrows more deeply than ever before can testify that it has been a most blessed year to our souls and can give God thanks for it." That joy to the Lord, right? "Personally, I have been alike the most sorrowful and the most blessed year of my life. And I doubt not that others have to a greater or lesser extent had the same experience. We have put to proof his faithfulness, his power to support in trouble and to give patience under affliction as well as to deliver from danger." Here's a man that lived it out. And you know what? A man who sought the Lord. May we be individuals who seek him and find our satisfaction in him, real satisfaction now, and find great reward in the future. He is both our satisfaction and our security. May we seek him and enjoy both of those as we travel our journey. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. We thank you that you love us. You are with us. You're with us every step of the way. May we stay focused on you, find our satisfaction in you, and our security in you. God, help us continually look toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.